Okay, Luke chapter 6 and verse 37. Here we go. This may be short tonight too. I don't know. We'll see. Bible says here, Jesus said, Luke chapter 6 verse 37, "Judge not and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven." Let me read you another verse in James chapter 4 and verse 11. Bible says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge." All right, one more verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." All right. Now, the challenge is to talk about this without it being twisted. People have twisted this all up about judging and right here, let me just say that to judge means to condemn. For me to tell you, or for you to tell somebody else, for you to tell your children, that's wrong. You shouldn't do that. That's not judging them. That's correcting them. Amen. For the preacher to tell you that something is wrong, that don't mean he is judging you. That means he is admonishing you. He may be rebuking you, but that's his job. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. We're to do that for one another. We're to help one another in that way. That's not judging. Judging is another thing in the respect that what Jesus is talking about here. To judge means to condemn, to just blame, to just criticize. That's what I'm going to talk about tonight, is criticism. So, discernment and criticism are two different things. And most people want to confuse them together. This whole thing of, "Don't you judge me," that's just got to be the generic defense mechanism of ungodly, wicked people. Yes, sir. And most of them who sit in church pews. But it's spread all over the place. That's their defense. That's their shield. "You got no right to judge me." Well, I absolutely do.
Yes, sir.
Have a right to tell you that what you're doing is wrong. Nobody has a problem with that when it's coming from their mouth to somebody else. I notice these no judging people, boy, they're the harshest judges in the world. They're the most condemning, the most contempt. They have the most contempt for other people of any class of people. That people that are quick on the draw with that, "Don't you judge me. You're judging me." No, you're judging yourself. A lot of, just in the matter of dress and, women, let's put it there. Put it right there where it belongs. Women have this deal. They want to dress immodest. And then when somebody else comes around, another woman comes around, she's dressed modestly. What do they say they feel like you're doing to them? "You're judging me. I feel like you're judging me. Because you're doing right and they're doing wrong." Well, no. You're the one in the wrong.
Yeah.
Little miss, no judge me. You're the one needs to straighten up and do right. It's your own heart condemning you. It ain't somebody else.
That's right.
You know, we shouldn't all do wrong just because you do.
Right.
And it's not, and nobody's in the wrong for doing right in front of you when you refuse to do right. Amen. Praise God. That's the way it is. Discernment is a positive thing, while criticism is a negative thing in the sense that we're talking about here. Discernment is the ability to tell right from wrong, good from bad, etc. And those are not subjective things. You know what I mean by that? They're not subject to anything. Right's right, wrong's wrong, according to what God says. And the principles and precepts laid forth in this book right here. Right's right, wrong's wrong. It's not open to any private interpretation.
Right.
That means you got no right to have your own God, have your own truth, have your own ideas of what is right and wrong. Right and wrong, not subjective. Good and bad, not subjective. So there's nobody is judging. They're just noting, discerning the difference between good and bad, right and wrong. You can be wrong. People that murder babies are wrong. It's wrong. Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what kind of God you got. It's wrong.
Amen.
In any sense, in any circumstance, it's never right. And that's the kind of thinking that the world has swallowed and adopted, and it's infiltrated the churches and the people that sit in the pews. And they got that, what I preached to a couple of years ago on this, thinking, reasoning, relative reasoning, where everything's relative. It just depends on the circumstances, depends on other things. Right and wrong don't depend on that. Back years ago, they called it situational ethics. That's when people started that nonsense. Well, sometimes it's right to tell a law. Sometimes, or lie. Sometimes it's right to do wrong in order to do right. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's never right to tell a lie. Never. God hates it. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. All liars are going to be cast into hell. The Bible says that. I'd be afraid of lying if I were you, knowing that the Bible says that. I'd be real uneasy trying to justify it when I know that's what God said straight out. But people do it with all of the law. They twist it and squirm and justify themselves for every kind of wickedness. It concerns, you know, discernment is commended and it's required by the Lord. The Lord commends us for discerning, for using good judgment. The spiritual man judgeth all things. You're to try the spirits. What does that mean? Try the spirits to see if they be of God. That's using some discernment. That's being able to know the difference. That's being able to have a North Pole and a South Pole and be able to tell the difference. Which way this thing's headed. It's somebody that's got a compass and knows how to follow it. And which way is which. And they don't turn it around and imagine that right's wrong and wrong's right. And that reality is something besides what the facts say. We look at the outward appearance. You know, this concerns, it's commended, and it concerns ideas and activities and principles, not people themselves. Discernment is not about discerning people. There's where you're getting into the judging that's wrong. Judging somebody, their worth, their motives and stuff when you really don't know. We can't be sure. And when we step into that area, we're not sure. Now, I can watch what you do. And if what you're doing is wrong, I can say that's wrong. Likewise, if what you're doing is right, I can say that's right. That's good. Keep it going. But if you're going the wrong way, I should say that's wrong. You're going to mess up. You're heading for trouble. That you're on a wrong road. You better turn around. Anybody believe sin's bad?
Yes.
You know, if somebody's messing with sin, if they're messing with a bottle, if they're messing with drugs, if they're messing with immorality, you don't think that it's proper for a parent, for a pastor, for some friend that cares about them to say, "Hey, man, you're going to get in trouble. This is going to cost you. This is going to wreck your life. You're going to mess up here." You think that's wrong?
No,
well, that's right. Now, when you say, "You're a worthless piece of garbage. You ain't worth nothing. You're a lousy, worthless person." What are you doing there? Yep, you're condemning them. You're just condemning them. Excuse me. We look on the outward appearance, and we can't see the heart. Therefore, we discern people by their outward ideas and actions and principles. The ideas that they live by. Precepts, Gary, that they live by. I can look at somebody, like we've got in our day? I mean, it's real simple, folks. If a person vehemently defends abortion and sodomy and all kinds of immorality, and they condemn godliness and holiness, and they condemn anything, and they hate Jesus Christ, I can discern that that is a wicked person. How? By what they believe, by their actions, and by their principles. That's how you discern. We look on the outward appearance. So it matters how you walk. Matters how you live. Matters what you think. Your opinions tell what you are. Amen. And there's nothing wrong about us discerning that way. There is not a person on the face of God's earth that don't. They say, "Don't you judge me." But they judge everybody around them. Everybody does it. It's amazing to me how we've gotten so polarized in our country in the last 10 years here. And how it's come out. All these people that were preaching tolerance and love and compassion, and how intolerant and full of hatred those same people are. Well, it tells me what they really are. Mm-hmm. I can judge that way. You better judge that way. It's foolish not to judge that. It's foolish to. You're as bad as the trannies when you look at them and you see what they are and you pretend that there's something else besides that. You're living in la-la land as much as a tranny is. You're not facing reality. And you're not living in the reality. You're living in a fantasy. We know what people are by how they act, what they say they believe, and the principles they operate by. Criticism is finding fault with somebody else. You know, what I want to get across to you tonight is that we are to be discerning about all this stuff that I've talked about already. But at the same time, there's an attitude that we've got to be very careful about, because we just morph right into this, and it's wrong. To be critical is simply finding fault with somebody else. I've seen people do it all through the years. I've known families and people that I've been in church with and been associated with. And this is what they do. They think they're discerning and being right, but they're not. They're critical. And they're fault finders. And they're just always looking for something wrong. As soon as they meet somebody, they're just looking them up and down and trying to figure out and trying to find out everything they can about them so they can find out what's wrong with them. That's what they're looking for. They're not looking for virtue, they're looking for fault so that they can put a mark on them. And that's wrong. That's anti-Christ. It's anti-God. It's anti-love. It's anti-everything that's right. God don't want us to be that way. He don't want us to be blind to the evil, to the wrong, to the sin, to the things that hurt, the things that harm, and the things that are going to lead. He don't want us to be blind to that. And He don't want us to be blind to evil people. He tells us about withdrawing from such, withdraw thyself. And if a brother do this, blah, blah, don't even eat with him. God tells us those things. But He don't want us to go around just looking for fault in people. Oh, it's plentiful and easy to find. That's a lousy miner that just goes around looking for what's everywhere. You got to look for the gold. You get your eyes off of all the junk that's laying everywhere else. And that's what this is. Criticism is critical means inclined to find fault or to judge with severity. The fault finder is a person that has one sharp eye for faults and one blind eye for virtues. You know, if you can't say anything good, what are you supposed to say? Nothing at all. Yeah, and if you look at somebody else and you can't look for any good because you're too busy looking for the bad, there's something wrong with your heart. Look for the good in people. You'll be a lot happier and you'll be a lot more helpful to people. And you'll be a lot more fruitful in your life and in the work of God by looking for the good in people. It's funny how older people finally understand this. I wonder why you got to wait till you get old before you understand this real well. Why was it that Grandma said, if you can't say nothing good, don't say nothing at all? Wonder Grandma said that when she was 20 years old. Probably not. When you live long enough and you see the damage and you see the wreckage and the ruination that all this causes, then you start thinking about, there should be a better way than this. Criticism is always accompanied by putting the blame on someone, or, in other words, condemning someone. When you condemn someone, you're putting the blame on them. That's what you're doing. See? To reproach is to censure with contempt or disdain, to charge with a fault in severe language, to upbraid, which means to say, the simplest way I can put it is, you're an idiot, or you're stupid. That's upbraiding. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and what? Upbraideth not. God ain't going to tell you you're stupid for asking something you don't know. He don't treat people that way. Now, criticism, that's what it's like. And it's never received without a sting and a bite at best. Almost always it's received with resentment. And it's real close here to instruction. That's why we have that same problem with instruction, especially with children or younger people, mostly, but it's older people too. Everybody's got this malady. It's pride. And it resents being corrected or criticized. This word criticism, it's not all bad, But it's how we go about it is determines the results. You can see somebody doing something wrong. And you can correct it one of two ways. You can come up and say, what is the matter with you? You stupid or something? What are you doing? Why are you doing it that way? Here, let me show you. Are they going to receive it well when the first thing you told them was you're an idiot? No. How'd you get so stupid? I mean, ain't you got no sense? Is that going to fly? No. Well, what about just saying, here's how I do that. Well, that might be a little hard for them to swallow too, because you're subtly correcting them. But it's better than calling them an idiot. Better than coming in with that approach. How about just wisdom? How about wisdom in dealing with people? How about adding a little kindness and a little patience and some charity in with it and see how it works that way? I promise you that it'll work a whole lot better. Criticism is the one criticized has his pride wounded. His self-esteem suffers a terrible blow even when the criticism is very gentle. He'll almost always come to his own defense even if he knows he's wrong. It's real frustrating to deal with somebody who can't be corrected. Well, who was that? Who mentioned this morning? Was you, Gary, mentioned untoward generation? Yeah. Can't teach them. Can't guide them. Can't correct them. It's frustrating dealing with people like that. Who just reject everything right out of hand. They won't even listen. They cut you off before you even can say the words to them. Very frustrating. You just about want to smack them. That's what you want to do, ain't it? Listen to me. What's the matter with you? Many critics are religious critics. Many seem to carry this sin of being censorious and reproachful with them into the kingdom of God. Some acquired after they're around so-called Christian people for a while. They learn it from other people in the church. Terrible. That's right. They learn to be critics from critics that are already in the church. You know what a disciple is? Does anybody know? Can you tell me what a disciple is? What does the word mean? It means a follower and a learner. When a kid goes to school, does he go there to teach the teachers? Or does he go there for the teachers to teach him? When somebody gets a job and they go to this new job and they have never been there before and they've never done this before, are they there to look it all over and tell these people how to run this thing? No. No, that's not the way it works. But there's a lot of people that get into church and that's the way they do. Right out of the gate, they know more than everybody there. Fresh from the dregs of sin, they know more than people who've been studying the Bible and living for God and have lived clean and holy for years and years and years. That's a critic. That's the kind of stuff God does not like. What God intends for us to do as Christians is to be followers and learners. If you know, I think it was Spurgeon who said, if a man can't be corrected with the Word of God, he's a lost man. If you can't take the Word of God and gently and in love correct him, you might as well count him as a lost man, because he is. Don't mean you have to agree with everything that's said by everybody that gets up in church. That ain't never going to happen. But you better listen to wisdom, and you better always be receptive and consider your own ways and your opinions and what you've already decided you believe. You better always be willing to check it out. That's the way you grow. If you just start out and you just set your anchor and that's it, buddy, you know what you believe and you ain't changing it and ain't nobody going to convince you, and you just set about to find everybody that don't agree line for line with what you say and mark them, then you're the judge, you're the critic that is condemned in the Word of God. A lot of people learn it after they get in church from people in church who are like that. These people are poison. They're harmful. They do damage to the work of God and to lives. I've known a lot of them through the years. Just fault finders and critics. You better be tolerant toward others and be that. Why don't you be critical with yourself? Why don't you be harsh on yourself as you are on other people? And be honest about that. These people seem to think their righteousness consists of being able to find and point out faults and shortcomings in others. And they're the only one that is right on all points of everything. And they develop a critical spirit and become critical and censorious of everyone and everything that doesn't conform to themselves. Now, here's what I've found out about people who have this critical spirit about them that I'm talking about. And I hope you're understanding this right. But I found out that everyone is on their list. And they may be your friend for a little bit, and that's the way they operate. They'll move into a church, and boy, they'll just be buddy, buddy, buddy. But better watch it. You're in the crosshairs too. And just as soon, and sooner or later, you're going to find that you're the receiver of their criticism. They have found something in you and marked you also. And most people nowadays, that's why it's hard to get people in church and get them to sit and be faithful and be a part and all, because people don't come to church to be a part and to stay. They come to criticize and find fault until they find a good enough reason to not be there so they can go somewhere else. That is a fact. We got a lot of these kind of people. And almost every one of them, if you say anything to them, they'll jump right in your face with, "Don't you judge me. You got no right to judge me." But they're judging everybody. Mark it. Those who say that, those who use that, are the most judgmental, condemning, critical people. Mark it down. Check it out. All right, now, a critic is a critic. If they're a critic in one area, they'll be a critic in all areas. A person with a critical spirit is continually criticizing everything and everyone. They don't see the good, but only have, they only see the bad in everyone and everything. They're continually trying to lay the blame on some person for anything and everything that isn't just right. Now imagine a perfect world where there's perfect churches and perfect families and everything's perfect. They're a dreamer. They dream of a utopia. They're delusional. This is not going to be this way in this world. You're going to always find things not just right with everybody that you meet. So is that what you're going to focus on? Is that what you're going to hunt for? Is that what you're going to think about all the time? Is why is everything not perfect? Why is everybody not perfect? Why has everybody got something that's haywire or off a little bit except me? Why is it that way? Reckon that's right? You'll always find them to be a selfish person because they will praise anyone who praises them or does them good or does what they want. I've seen them come in churches and you know, I've told you before, but I'll tell you again, there's been opportunities to have people come to our church. I mean, move in here and boy, just they wanted too bad and I didn't encourage it one bit. In fact, I kind of blocked it because I knew exactly what was going on. Talked to them enough to realize what kind of thinking they got, how they intermingle with other people. Those kind of people are church jumpers. They're spiritual nomads. They wander about from church to church, never able to find any place that suits them because they get there and they and everything's wonderful. I've heard it over and over. They get someplace, boy, this is the best preaching. You ought to listen to this. Boy, I'm telling you, this is a place. This is good. Within 2-3 months, why? They done fled and went somewhere else because this place is a bad place. I mean, you wouldn't believe what all was going on here. But it happens over and over and over and over. Now, you might do that. You might go to some church and everything seemed good, and then after just a little bit, you get to see what's going on, and yeah, this is a mess. But it ain't going to be that way everywhere you go. And if you're anywhere near right, you're going to find some place and settle. You ain't going to just keep wandering like the Israelites in the desert for 40 years until you die. How you going to get along with people in heaven if you can't get along with them here? To speak ill of others is a dishonest way of praising ourselves. Selfish. You're always going to find them to be selfish. A critical person that's critical in this sense. Now, you understand what I'm saying to you? Not everybody that tells you you're wrong, not everybody that tries to correct you is being critical of you. They're trying to help you. It's one thing to stand away and say, that guy's an idiot. I mean, stay away from him. Her. Don't mess with them. I'm telling you, they're just a waste of your time. That's one thing. But telling somebody, you know, how about this? Consider this. Hey, but read this. What do you think about this? Let me tell you what I think about this. That's not criticism that's wrong. We're to help one another. Iron sharpeneth iron. Well, that takes some sparks. When you sharpen iron, you're going to have some sparks. That don't mean that it's bad and wrong. But this old just standing off and condemning, you know, boy, I'm telling you. Just mark them as bad. X them off. I've got letters. I've got emails from people and stuff. And they say, I'm disassociating myself from you. Because you're bad. Broke my heart. Well, really, I'm telling you. What is that about? I ain't never done that to nobody. Why would I do that to anybody? Even people that have done me really bad wrong. I didn't write them a letter and say, "Oh, you low down, I'm telling you what, you're a devil. You'll never see me around again. I'm disassociating myself from you. I'm not going to speak to you anymore." That's what he meant. I'm not speaking to you anymore. I can't even think of nothing, only just, you know, "Won't you come and tell me like a man instead of like a woman? Write me a letter. Tell me you're not going to speak to me anymore. If you got a problem, if you think something's wrong here, won't you just come and talk to me about it?" Don't you think that's the way a man ought to do?
Yes, sir.
If you're honest, if you're right, if you're sincere and everything. I mean, two Christians ought to be able to sit down and talk about things, even if they disagree, and go away without hating one another and trying to destroy one another. That's the devil. I ain't never tried to destroy anybody. Why would I do that? How could I do that? It's what threw me for a loop years ago. How in the world? You know, I just couldn't understand. How could people who say they're Christians, who everybody reveres with such honor, how can they do this? How can they be so dishonest and cruel and untruthful? And just downright mean. How can that be? Well, I found out through the years, man, that wasn't just me. They was mean to a lot of people. In fact, they was mean to everybody. They were this kind of a person. All they did is look for bad, and if they couldn't find it, they'd imagine it and make it up. And that's what critics do. Critical, judgmental people who are just looking for the bad in other people. Finding fault in other people. They're not doing it with an attitude of love and a burden to help them and to guide people into the truth. You understand what I'm saying? They don't have that. That element's missing out of their criticism. All of us, like I said in the beginning, we all see fault in others. All of us do. We see fault in one another. But what do you do about that? How do you feel about that? What's your idea about that? Well, kick them out. Like Gary said this morning, cut him off. Just cut it off. Just cut it off. Throw it away. We don't need that hand. We don't need that arm. Oh, yes, we do. We ought to help one another. I mean, you see the fault in somebody else, try to figure out a way. Brethren, ye that are spiritual, you know, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thine own self, lest thou also be tempted. Isn't that what the Bible says? Bear you one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. I mean, if you have aught against your brother, what are you supposed to do? Tell everybody else and tell them to avoid him because he's a rat. He ain't no good. And he'll cheat you. Watch him. Is that what you're supposed to do? Not according to the Bible. You're supposed to go to him. Yeah. And work things out. Fix the problem. You know, and go on loving one another. Everything's to be done in a spirit of love and a desire to help. Benevolence, not malevolence. Benevolence. With good intentions, with good motives. To help. Not to just find fault. Not to just find fault so you can mark them as bad. Ignorant. Put them down here on the low shelf because that's where they belong. Not that at all. No, we want to lift one another up. We want to help one another. Amen. Oh, there's other scriptures that can go along with that. But criticism leaves you with the flattering unction that you are a superior person. It's impossible to develop the characteristics of a saint and maintain a critical attitude. That's right. Now, that's a quote. I don't know who said it. I didn't write it down. But that's what it does. To tear down somebody else makes you feel better when you're not right. If you're right with God, to hurt somebody or to damage somebody and cause grief to somebody else, if you're right with God, it's going to grieve your heart to know you've done that. You're not going to be happy because you did that to somebody.
Right.
But a critical person is. He delights in it. It makes him feel better about himself. Messed up. A critic will always be inferior himself to those he is criticizing. He will almost always be inferior to those who he is criticizing. I found that out too. He acts like he's superior, but he's really inferior. Yeah. He's the little bully guy that's going to whoop everybody, and yet every time he turns around, somebody's whooping up on him. Yeah, he's the tough guy. I remember over at school one time, had a big old guy. If I named him, some of you would know him. Looked like a gorilla, big guy, in the school bathroom. And this little old bitty guy who thought he was Superman, but he was just a little skinny, scrawny fly is what he was. Well, he set about to whoop the big guy in the bathroom. I mean, he threatened him, and of course, threats didn't mean too much to the big guy. He just stood there, and of course, he danced around, swung his fist a time or two, and he just reached out, and poof, that was it. Fight over. It's like swatting a fly. But the little guy thought he was going to win. Yeah. He thought he was so tough, but when he was a freshman, he come over there and bragged about how they would been seniors wasn't going to do nothing to him. He would show them, and they just, oh my. Yeah, I think a sophomore mopped the floor with him. Wasn't near as tough as he thought he was. That's the way it is with a critic. They're just like a bully. They're just like somebody that thinks they're tough, but they're not. That's why they go around picking and finding fault on other people, is to hide their own weaknesses, insecurities, and ignorance. That's right. The things in their own life. Oh, again, you know, just experience just helps you so much. Because I've sat and watched this through the years with people and families and stuff. And, you know, some of the most smart aleck, big mouth, loud mouth, critical, always knowing better than everybody else, snickering and looking down their nose at everybody else, and just belittling, deriding everybody, preachers and everybody. And then wipe completely out. I mean, just blow completely out of the whole game. Destroy their family and everything. I've seen it happen over and over. They thought they were so smart, so educated, so informed, so well-read. And then just do that. That's the way critics are. Don't be like that. Be humble before God. Look in the mirror and be humble before yourself. Realize how little you really are. How vulnerable you are. How weak you are. Just think a little bit about how many people are so far ahead of you. Don't ever get to thinking, man, I'm the leader of the pack. I'm way out in front. Yeehaw! If any man think himself to be something, he's nothing. If any man thinketh he standeth, let him take heed, lest he fall. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. See, that's a principle in the Bible. It's over and over and over there. That's why I can tell you with confidence here tonight, critics are shaky themselves. That's why they're picking on other people. They're spiritual bullies. That's what they are. And so, it criticized, a critical almost, all right, here it is. And so it criticized each flower, this supercilious seed, until it woke one summer hour and found itself a weed. He's actually just seeking to ease his own feelings of inferiority. Yes. Confidence and love are by far the greater influence. Always remember that. You want to be an influence, and you want to make a difference with your children, with your brethren, with other people that you run into. Just remember that. Confidence and love are by far the greatest influence. Criticism isn't received. It's resisted and rejected when you criticize somebody. Mm-hmm. I remember her dad was always, in the last years, he always said it a lot about encouraging people. You should just encourage people. It's the greater influence. I know what he's talking about. I know finally what he's talking about. It tends to injure, criticism does, rather than correct or help. Now think about it. That's what it does. It tends to injure. It tends to put a wall between you. It tends to hinder what you're wanting to do. Don't be that way. Don't take on the traits of these spiritual bullies. Don't do that. If you want to help somebody and you see their fault, try to encourage them away from it. Instead of just, you know, when somebody's going to jump off a bridge or something, do they just run up there full bore right at them and you know, is that the way they approach the problem? Is that the way you deal with the problem like that? No, no. You gently try to win their confidence and talk them out of it. You encourage them not to do this. That's right. You don't run up there and say, "What is the matter with you?" Only an idiot would jump off a bridge. Right. Are you an idiot? Look at this idiot. You know, we're living in a world where a lot of times people on a building or something, I've read about it over and over, and the people on the ground say, "Jump! Go ahead and jump." They're encouraging them to jump. All right, let me hurry up. I'm just about done here. Remember this when you're training children. These little ones will respond so much better to encouragement and confidence than they will to criticism and condemnation and blame. That's part of that old fleshly nature they talk about. That's the way lost people act. They blame. Eve blamed Adam. You know, Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the serpent. And Adam really blamed God. He said, "That woman you gave me, you know, if you hadn't given me that woman, wouldn't be in this problem." It's an effect of sin to try to blame somebody. It's the first thing you do when you're caught, you blame somebody else. And so we don't do that. That's not the way to deal with problems, with wrong, with things that are not right. Criticism is futile because it puts a man on the defensive and usually makes him strive to justify himself. Criticism is dangerous because it wounds a man's precious pride and hurts his sense of importance and arouses his resentment. The Holy Ghost alone is in the true position of a critic, and he's able to show what's wrong without wounding and hurting. Has he ever done that for you? I mean, how could somebody else correct you if the Holy Ghost can't even correct you? You ought to be able to take correction from somebody else as well as you take it from the Holy Spirit of God. I've had the Spirit of God say to me, "Thou fool." I remember very well. Though it's just clear as somebody said it to me. "You fool." More than once. And you know how I reacted? I didn't say, "Well, who are you calling a fool?" Not with the Holy Ghost. You just, "I am. You're right." That's right. I'm a fool to be that way, to think that way. And what do? Well, you just correct it. You repent. You recognize the fault in yourself and say, "You know, that is right. There's a better way than this. I believe I'll change things and do it the right way." Well, how in the world can the Holy Ghost correct us like that and somebody else can't? Maybe we ought to study the way he does it. At the same time he does that, there's some kind of comfort there, some kind of promise, some kind of hope with it. He don't just correct you and throw you out the door. I mean, you don't find yourself rolling on the ground that he just throws you off out of the door. You don't feel rejected because you're corrected. See? That's the little key there. You can correct your children better if they don't feel like you're rejecting them, like you're counting them as nothing. Encouragement and confidence without criticism and blame casting is going to carry a lot of influence to correct and guide. All right, Proverbs 15 and verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? If you see something wrong with somebody, no matter who it is, even if it's your children, look for the opportunity, just like we do with lost sinners, and I tell you this all the time, just look for the opportunity. Wait. Till God gives you the opportunity. Do the same thing. You know, you see a fault, you see something wrong in somebody, no matter who it is, family or somebody at church or whatever, just wait and pray and see if God don't give you an opportunity to go about it right. Instead of just taking matters into your own hand and dealing with it out of your own imperfect wisdom and intellect, how about just waiting on God and praying the Holy Spirit help you to have an opportunity to say something, do something that'll deal with that just a little bit and help them? That's a good way to do right there. That's the way to deal with it. He has the right to criticize who has the heart to help. That's the way it is. That's what I'm trying to say to you tonight here. You're going to find fault. I mean, if you're waiting for a church, a family situation, or job, or anything else in this life, as long as you live, you're waiting on that to be perfect. I mean, you're just waiting until you find the perfect environment, the perfect situation. And everybody around you is perfect. If you're looking for that, you're going to look in vain. You ain't going to find it. I promise you that. So you're always going to find faults. You're always going to see. You're going to hear people say things that you don't agree with. You're going to hear people say things that you say, oh, I wish I hadn't said it like that. I would never say that. You're going to hear stuff like that. You're going to see stuff like that. You're going to run into people. You're going to have friends that's just got ideas that ain't right. Well, are you going to just fix the whole world? I mean, are you going to be the one that's just like one of them 22-row combines, just taking the swath through humanity, just fixing every one of them as you go? No. You can't do nothing. Without him, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. That means influence other people and everything else. So, what do you do? Why don't you just walk with the Lord? Why don't you just read the Word of God? Why don't you get wisdom from God from above? That wisdom that descendeth from above is first pure, easy to be entreated, gentle. And walk in that kind of wisdom toward them that are without and everybody else. Walk in wisdom toward them that were without. Walk in wisdom toward everybody. Instead of just being a critic and a fault finder, don't major on the faults of other people. If you can find somebody something good, look for something good in other people. Look for something good in the children. Praise them for it. You know, you'd be amazed how much that little encouragement would change some other things. Maybe those faults would diminish if it was dealt with in this way instead of this way. Hey, just think about it. Think about yourself. How do you receive instruction? How do you receive correction? Do you resent it? Do you immediately resist it, no matter who it's from? Well, you need to get your heart right with God if you do, because that ain't the way to live. Be slow to answer. Slow to wrath. I mean, think about it before you answer. Could it be that other people see something in you that you don't see yourself? Well, almost certainly, yes. We have a hard time seeing faults in ourselves. We need the help of other people to see the faults in ourselves, don't we? Can't everybody say amen to that? That's right. And we should realize that. Amen. All right. Well, stand with me. I wish I could be a little sharper and clearer with this so that you could really get what I'm trying to say. You got to dance around there to make it clear. And I don't know if it's clear or not. But I just know one thing. Critical people who are hateful about it and, you know, do it with a heart to condemn instead of a heart to help, they're bad. They're bad influence. The effects that they produce are bad everywhere. In their family, in their marriage, in the church, in the work where they work, they're bad. Be a help.
Amen.
To somebody. I mean, be a help to everybody. Live to do that. Live to be a blessing. And realize you can't fix other people's problems and you can't straighten them out and you just can't do it head on. You can be subtle about it. You can influence. And what am I always saying to you? It's the most important thing you'll ever hear is this right here as far as dealing with other people. And example is the strongest influence. It most certainly is. If you want to lead somebody away from a fault, just make sure that that fault ain't in you. Show them a better way by example. What was that the other day? Was it something we were watching? It was a little boy, and he didn't know how to do anything because he didn't have any father. And this man was there, and the man was helping with the farm or whatever, and that little boy would watch the man. He was trying to chop wood, that's what it was. And he was just very clumsy, wasn't doing it at all. But he watched that man how he did it. And then he started doing it right. And it was two or three things like that. The little boy was watching. The man didn't say, "What's the matter, you boy? Ain't you never chopped wood before? Ain't you got no sense? That's the dumbest way I ever say. You're going to cut yourself." He just chopped wood the right way. And he knew the little boy was watching. And the next thing you see, the little boy's doing it the right way.
Yeah.
By example. That works.
Yes.
In all areas of life, it works. If you want your children to be, they're going to be what you are. Mark her down. And it's going to be magnified 10 times in them.
Yes.
Your virtues and your faults. Just remember that. So set a good example. That's the way you do it. Amen. Father, thank you for the word of God. Again, I want to thank you for the good Lord's day you've given us. Thank you for the good services today. And thank you for the good spirit among us. Thank you for the good instruction from the word of God. Please help us, Lord, each one to receive it and apply it in our life every day as we go about our business. I pray these things would change us and help us in real life as we interact with people and at home with one another, Lord, that we would obey these things that we learn about from your word here in the house of God. Please watch over us now and help us through the week. Help us, Lord, to live for you, to walk with you, to keep ourselves pure from this evil world around us and to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.